What's up, students? Golly. Hey, listen, we need to start off with some music or something being loud. I know everybody, if you're like me, it's mornings are kind of not my thing. I've sort of got to get up and get going, but good-looking crowd today, no doubt. So hope everybody had a good weekend. I'm going to speak to y'all today. So if you don't know me, my name's Danny Bennett. I am Blair and Bristol's dad, and Philip asked me to come, and I think they're having a meeting with some of that, you know, group with the teachers. So I'm going to come and talk to y'all a little bit, and I've got a topic in my mind that I was thinking about a lot, and lately, and especially during the season, it's Christmas. We've got a lot of things going on, and things can get heavy sometimes. But I'm going to talk to y'all this morning about joy. Before I do, let me just pause just a minute and say a quick prayer, and we'll shake the Wiggles out. Everybody kind of lean in, and we'll get ready and share my heart with you, all right? Let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and God, I'm thankful for the opportunity and the privilege to just share my heart by sharing your word. God, I'm human. I'm like every one of these students here in front of me, Lord. It's been a busy week. I've had a lot of things going on, Lord. Life happens so quickly. But God, this morning, I just pray that I will shove everything to the side, and I spend this next few minutes focusing on you. Lord, I just pray for everybody here this morning that, God, they do the same thing, that whatever we have going on, Lord, that we put our phones away, we put everything away that may distract us, God, and just give you the next few minutes. And God, I pray that in doing that, that you will put a joy in our hearts today. Lord, I want to leave here with a smile. I want to leave here encouraged. And God, I thank you for that, Lord. And now just settle my nerves. And Lord, speak through me and use me. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so look, you know, when it comes to a Christian life and when we think about things, can I just be honest, you know, y'all get up, you can go to school every day, and it's difficult. You know, I never really realized, and I know it always seems this way, but man, y'all are just busy people. I mean, your generation, y'all have something going on 24/7. I know with the girls, man, there's always things. And listen, I mean, as an adult, I feel like I've got a lot of responsibilities, but y'all live a pretty stressful life. I mean, just schoolwork alone and the things that y'all have got to do is a lot. You know, it just adds up on you. And as we get started, I'm going to do the unpardonable sin and something I hope doesn't change your lives forever, but I'm going to do it. Y'all ready? Boom. All right, if y'all know the story about this, I'm not supposed to touch this little elf, and I did, so this one lost its magic. Are y'all? So does anybody in here have no Elf on the Shelf? Do y'all know about it? Anybody? Y'all know about Elf on the Shelf? Come on. So correct me, anybody speak up if y'all know the story that I don't know. But there was something, it's been a long time. We've had this elf since the girls were born. So it's like, you know, it comes in, a little flies in, and then it loses its magic if you touch it. It's like you can't do what I'm doing here. But this elf is old, and she lost her magic, and the gig's over, and everybody knows what's up. But the deal with this elf is, I think part of it that I remember a little bit, but we had, you know, excuse me, the elf would hide around, and every day, you know, the girls would wake up as they're growing up, and I mean like from the time they were born, and they'd locate this little elf, and they'd find this little elf, and, you know, Dad, hey, we found the elf, and they would literally get up, and I mean, it was like, it was really good for us because they would not be as grouchy when it came time to go to Lollipop, you know, in the mornings and so forth. They would wake up with enthusiasm to look for this elf. And so it was funny yesterday. Bristol was gone with a thing with Beta out of town, and she came in, and you know, the elf, we still maybe kind of do the elf thing just for tradition. It's just fun, right? I mean, clearly we know the deal. But Bristol came in, and Joy is our elf's name. So she was doing something, and Joy was kind of up, you know, hidden, you know, over some of this type of stuff, but long, you know, in the fireplace, she's hidden. And Bristol all of a sudden said, "Oh, Dad," she said, I found Joy. I said, "Yep." So we laughed about it. So this morning, as we start to talk, I want to talk to y'all for a little bit about finding joy, okay? And not this kind of joy, but real joy. The kind of joy that comes from our Father in heaven, the kind of joy that is a lasting joy, the kind of joy that doesn't fade and go away. Let me ask you a question. So, first of all, do you know there's joy and happiness? And if I ask this morning, you know, do you have joy? And then if I ask, you know, do you have happiness? Out of the gate, let me make sure I express this. Those are two different things, right? You can have happiness and not necessarily have joy. You know, what do you mean? What is that? Well, let me go about it this way. You know, happiness depends on circumstance. It depends on what happens. Just think about it. You know, what happens, happenstance. So our happiness comes and goes, you know, based on what happens. It's based on and it's determined by circumstance. And often happiness can depart when hardship comes, right? We're happy and things are good, but then now joy is different. Joy, where happiness goes up and down and it comes and it goes, joy depends on the Lord. Joy is decided, okay? It's we don't just have it. It's not a guarantee just when you get saved you've automatically got joy. You should, and that's the way it should be. And it often, as we said, it deepens with hardship. Often our joy, and just hear me this morning, and as you are thinking about your lives, I want us to leave this morning with this in mind. John chapter 15, y'all had already said this, so I didn't say it, but we're in John chapter 15, and we're going to read, you know, and be from verses 1 through verses 11. I know you guys had already started kind of pondering that and reading that, but that's where our scripture is. But, you know, as we think about joy deepening in hardship, Matthew 16:33 says this: "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." So God tells us this in word right there that we're going to have hard times, right? And at the end of the day, let's think about a few examples of happiness and the difference between joy and happiness. So if you play any kind of sport, for instance, any sport across the board, and y'all have had a pretty good season, and next thing you know, you're able to make it the state championship. All right, you're happy. I mean, right? You're making it the state championship. This is big stuff. You're happy about that. But then you go and you lose that game, and it's over with. If you're a senior, the level of happiness that's gone is even more. That may be your last football game or your last tennis match or whatever the case may be. So you understand how, man, we're on top of the world. Like, we made it the state championship. You put all this time and effort and energy into these things, and you're happy. Well, then you lose the ball game. Guess what? I mean, we can all agree, like, we're not happy. There's nothing happy about that. If we've, you know, I enjoy the football games. I enjoy watching a lot of it. And if you've ever went, you see these big, you know, strong football players with tears rolling down their face, right? That's passion. That's because they've sweated and they've given their everything for this, and now they just lost. It hurts. I promise you, nobody's smiling in that moment. We agree on that? I mean, nobody's happy. But when we get on the bus, when we get on the bus after that soccer championship, after whatever the case may be, and we're headed home, we're not happy due to that circumstance, but if you're a Christian, you know inerrantly that if that bus were to wreck tonight, you're going to be with Jesus in heaven for all of eternity. So that's joy. You've got a joy. Even though circumstance makes happiness come and go, you know, if you're a young lady, and I want to walk through just kind of a couple examples, I want us to really get the understanding as a Christian of what joy and what happiness is. And I want us to understand that there is a difference, and it's okay. You're not going to go through life just smiling every day. That's silly. That's just stupid, really. You're not going to do that. And if you and I expect people to do that, that's just kind of not nice, right? I mean, if I show up to somebody when they're having a really bad day and I'm like, hey, you're a Christian, you need to be smiling, I'm probably going to get slapped pretty quickly. So it's not feasible. So let's say this. Say you're a young lady and prom time is around and you've got your mind set on Earl over here. We'll call him Earl. That seems like a unsuspecting name. But, you know, you think Earl's good looking and you like a lot about him and you're hoping he's going to ask you to prom. You're all pumped up. You and Earl are friends. And all of a sudden Earl sends you a text and he says, listen, Lucy, what you got going on after school? I want to chat with you a little bit. Man, your motorcycle's running around in your stomach. You're all pumped up. You're ready. Lucy's ready for Earl to come talk to her. And after school, they meet up, and they sit down. And he's like, listen. He looks deep into her little eyeballs, and he says, hey, I just got to share something with you. It's been on my mind a lot. I just feel so strongly about it, and I'm just curious. And she's leaning in, and he says, what do you think about me asking Nancy to prom? Do you think she'd say yeah? Well, guess what? That happiness that you felt for a moment is not there anymore, right? You're just bottomed out. I mean, you had an expectation, and you were excited, and you were happy, and guess what? That all of a sudden is gone in an instant. It comes and it goes. However, to the Christian young lady, you smile, and you just say, yep, and you do best you can to give what advice you can, and then you go home and you read your Bible. And it says that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew all about you. I knew your comings and your goings. I've got a plan for you, and it's a perfect plan. And you know that the Bible says that God's preparing a young man for you right now. And you know that although that maybe didn't pan out and that happiness is gone, you've still got joy. Because that's just a little tiny step in your story. I think about... on a serious note, I've got some friends of mine right now. I've got some friends of mine right now that years ago were trying to have a baby, and they, if you guys have heard, about like in vitro and all of these, medical practices, they're crazy expensive. And these friends, in fact, I don't mind saying their name, they tell the story all the time. So it's Clint and Jane Aaron. Cannon, and they were trying to have a child, and they tried and tried, and ultimately they, medically they pursued a lot of things, and, these procedures, you go in and all of these processes, and it's crazy expensive. I mean, I don't want to put a dollar on it, be wrong, but it's like $15,000 or something, to go. So typically when you're trying to start a family, you're younger, and this is kind of what's going on, and so I was teaching their Sunday school class at the time, and we're all around the same age, right? And they went through one of these processes, and, you go see this doctor in Jacksonville, big, huge skyscraper. He's renowned. People all over the world know him. He's written all these articles. He's been on these magazines. Granted, you trust God, but there's sometimes, just like when you get sick, you go to the doctor, right? So there's nothing wrong, with also sometimes seeking out medicine. So that's not the issue, but they win, and guess what happens? They're pregnant. And we as a class had prayed and prayed and prayed for them, and we were ecstatic. We were so happy. In fact, we had a scheduled Sunday school party that was going to be at their home. We celebrated. I'll never forget. We all went over there, and the entire afternoon was about this baby and how pumped we are and how we prayed and God gave them the desire of their heart. And guess what happened? A few weeks later, they found out that she lost the baby. And when I say that there was no happiness, on that day when I got to their home that afternoon to see them, and I'll never forget it. And in fact, if you see some of the billboards that we run for Huckleberry Apparel, you'll see this month the sign. And if you read it, this is the background, just so that y'all know, on that sign. It's this verse. The Lord give and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When I went that day and I got to their home, there's not a lot you can say, right? You just gotta love them. You're just there. I'm a talker normally, but on that day, all I knew to do is just is just hug them and just tell them I love them. They were crushed. They were absolutely crushed, and they were broken. But they had joy deep down. In fact, that day when I left, when I got to the door, Clint met me at the door, and I went to leave, and he looked at me, and the last thing he said was this when I went to leave. He said, "The Lord gives, and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And, man, I just bawled. Just a few months later, Jane Aaron, and I want you all to listen. I want you to think about your lives, because I know everybody in here has faced hard times. And I know as long as you're on this earth, you'll continue to face hard times. And I want you to remember that during those times when there is no light, when you look at your situation and you think to yourself, there's no way this is it, that my life is just never going to be the same, it'll never get better. As a Christian, we've got a hope that other people don't have. Does that make sense? We've got a joy that isn't determined by our circumstance. It's okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have these hard times. But Jane Aaron wrote Dr. Winslow a personal letter, and she just thanked him for all that he had done for them and for trying, and just said, you know, we appreciate all your efforts. And without getting all scientific, you know, there was still like a frozen egg embryo type thing. But, you know, all the money they spent, all, you know, they were just done. Tammy and I experienced some of that as well, and it's just, you're broken. You've just cried all you can cry. You've hurt all you can hurt, and they were done. Dr. Winslow called them back. All of a sudden, she gets a phone call from an odd number. She takes the call. It's Dr. Winslow. And he said, "Jane Aaron, this is Dr. Winslow." And she said she almost dropped the phone, because this is a guy that, you know, he doesn't call people on their cell phones. He's just in another level, and, you know, got all people flying in from all over the world to see him and hear little Jane Aaron and little, you know, Waycross is here. And Dr. Winslow calls, and he says, "I just wanted to share with you, I got your letter." And he said, "In all of my years, all these people I've helped," he said, "that was one of the most touching letters." And he said, "Listen, I know you may not feel like you may be done with this process. However, I just want to tell you this. If you decide to go one more round, you have one egg left, you know, there'll be no charge for that. I want to personally do that for you. Just know that." They thought about it. They prayed about it. Ultimately, they decided, you know what? We'll do it. Well, anyway, so little Tobin Cannon is the product of that. Beautiful young boy. I mean, now I don't even know how old he is. I know he's like half my height now. Beautiful, perfect baby boy, right? They were happy. But that joy never left them during that process. You know, so no matter what we go through, recently I lost my grandmother. Same thing. I watch her. You know, I know she's saved, and she was sick, and she would get better and sick and get better and sick and get better. And then all of a sudden there was this time just a few months back that she got really sick, and we thought, oh, and then I go to the hospital and I start talking to her. Guess what? She's talking. And I remember just being happy. I was like, hey, it's not as bad as I think. Like this, I think she's going to be all right. She's tough, you know. Well, it didn't go that way. And ultimately, she continued to decline. She goes to hospice, and she doesn't make it. And I remember being sad and burdened, watching my grandmother there. However, when she took her last breath, I couldn't get around thinking that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I couldn't help but think how now her faith, what she had lived her whole life for, this Bible that we read, this service we're sitting in, had been made sight. She didn't have to live by faith anymore. She was in the very presence of Jesus that day. So let's look at this when we get into verse 9. Let me look at this. So to start with, when we read verse 9 and 10, it says this: "As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So, number one right there, it tells us to rely on the Father, okay? To rely on the Father. And it says abide multiple times in there. Abide in my love. And if you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. What does abide mean? Abide means this. Just a short Danny definition. It's a life of reliance on the Lord, abide is a life of reliance on the Lord. And if you read back up in that first, you know, I told y'all to look over starting in chapter 1. If you go back and read in that, it talks about the branch and it talks about the vine. This is a horrible example, but it's winter and like all grapevines are, you know, they're gone. It's everything's frosted lately. So this is the best I can get for y'all this morning on the ditch on the way to church this morning. So I think it's a myrtle bush or something. But anyway, it talks in here about a branch and a vine. All right. And to make sure we're right now, the vine is going to be, that's going to be the main, you know, the vine is the life giver. It's everything. Everything's here in the vine. The branch are the little things that come off the vine. The branch is here to abide in the vine, okay? It says, you know, God is the vine. Let God handle the details. This branch's job is just to be a branch. It's not to worry about the details. It's not to figure life out. It's to abide. It's to rely on this vine for everything. And when we do that, here's what we don't do. Number one, when we do that, and we keep his commandments, and we move forward on that. Here's the thing. This is not an exhaustive list. This isn't everything, but this is some of the things. Number one, trust in the Lord, all right? When we read in that verse, it says for us to keep his commandments, all right? Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, and you fast forward, and you will abide in the Father's love. So we're to keep his commandments. So number one, on the side of my building says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We're to trust in the Lord. If we do, then God gives us an entire book of promises. Now, next, do not worry. Now, this is super important. I want everybody to just pay attention just a minute, because I know in y'all's lives where y'all are, this is the key. And this is some of the things. When y'all leave this morning, I want you to be encouraged, because sometimes life can be heavy. You can think, man, I got to deal with all of this. I've got this going on and that going on and this going on. The Bible says in Matthew 6, and if you hadn't read that lately, that's about the lily, and that's about, you know, if God clothed the lily, how much more? That's all of this good meat scripture, all right? But the Bible tells us, don't worry, all right? Now, let me tell you some of the reasons why. Let me read this. It says, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink. And then it goes on and says, look at the birds. They do not reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Listen, you don't have to worry about every detail of your life. And this is what I want y'all to get. The older you get, the more this verse will just sound off when you read it. That entire, I've read, if I could turn my Bible to y'all, it looks like a coloring book. You know why? I've had some hard times in my life that when they come, you find yourself worrying. If you're not real careful, you've got a test coming up. You've got a situation in your life. You've got a best friend that is, no doubt about it, if you bring the case before a jury, she is absolutely stabbing you in the back while claiming to be a Christian. She's living in a vindictive way. And now, because of a certain situation, she kind of controls the tempo, and she can determine whether or not other things are playing out in your life. You watch her dictating other situations, and you know what that can cause? Worry. It can cause you to think and think and think, how can I figure this out? What can I do? And you know what we do? You know what I do? I try to find that answer myself. And God says, you rest, you abide in me. You just be a branch. I'm the vine. You cast your cares on me. 1 Peter 5 says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. He can do things that I can never do. He says, don't worry. Let me read a few things. This is something you don't really think about a whole lot. Consider this just a moment. Ready? This is what, if I can locate it, listen, here's some facts about worrying. So today when you go home, right now as you're sitting here and you got a text before you walked in and there's something on your mind and you're worried about it, here's some things you need to remember about worrying. This is a fact. Now, think about this. 40% of the things you worry about never happen. Think about it. 40%. 30% of your worries are related to past matters. They're over with. They're gone. They're out of your control. In fact, if you go back to Matthew, in that verse, it ends this way. It says, All right, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. You know what that means? Hey, there's plenty to worry about today. There's no need in thinking about yesterday. That's over with. The Bible just told us that. The Bible is so logical. Like, we need to really understand God's word. It's so meaningful, right? It said, don't worry about yesterday. It's over with. You literally can't do anything about it. If you messed it up, let it go. Cast your cares on the Lord. And then the Bible says, and by the way, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You know, today, you got plenty on your plate, literally, to worry about today. But he says, you don't have to do that. Listen, 30% of your worries are related to past matters. 12% of your worries have to do with health, even when you're not actually ill. Health, and health could come in all forms, you know. I need to eat more, I need to eat less, oh, this is hurting, gosh, you know, my leg isn't doing right, I'm not going to be able to start this year. All of these worries, 12% of, 10% of our worries are about friends, neighbors, and they're not even based on evidence or fact. You know what that means? We're doing it all up here. We're writing this whole story on things that isn't even right. Does that make sense? Is anybody, don't raise your hand, do y'all do that? Any of y'all do that? I do it all the time. And the Bible tells us that, don't worry. And it goes on to just say, seek ye first. All right? We've got to seek first. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. All right, we're to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Here's what this says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through Jesus. All right? Here's what else the Bible tells us. Love. We're to love our neighbor. Do y'all remember when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Y'all remember what he said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And then he said, you know the second thing he said? Love your neighbor. He said, if you'll do these two things, pretty much everything else will take care of itself, okay? And then last, disciple. God gave us the Great Commission. If we're Christians and we're in this room today and we're Christians, we literally have a job to do. God said, before he descended, he said, go tell. He said, go tell. He told us, go therefore and make disciples. So listen, the second point here, is that we're to keep his commandments, which means, and this is not an exhaustive list, this isn't everything, this is most of it. We're to trust, we're not to worry, we're to seek him first, we're to rejoice, pray, and give thanks, we're to love our neighbor, and we're to disciple, okay? Second point, receive fervent joy. When we read right here in verse 11, it says this, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. So we're to receive fervent joy. What does that mean, fervent? It means sincere. It means enthusiastic. It's as deep a joy as you can possibly know and understand, okay? When I think about fervent joy, you know how I think about? I think about Ethan. How many of y'all were here the other night when Ethan spoke? Good bit. I mean, most everybody here. All right. Receive fervent joy. When we're thinking about happiness and we're thinking about joy, do y'all remember what Ethan said? So just so you know, Ethan is a good friend of mine. He refers as kind of a little mentor him. He's just a friend of mine. And I've had an opportunity to, you know, walk with Ethan for the last several years and be there. And we've encouraged each other as brothers. And when I got a call of the accident, I went to be with Ethan and got there several hours after the accident. And Ethan, if you recall the story, he said, you know, we pulled out of the driveway, and they were actually headed to a staff meeting at church. And here's the love of his life, this his entire heart. And y'all have heard a little bit, he stayed at our house Tuesday night, and the girls got to hear some of his story. They had the best relationship you could possibly have, which, by the way, guys, let me just add this little side note. Don't be unequally yoked. As you're in a situation in your lives, every year moving forward, you begin to date, you begin to look around, listen, there's a lot of good-looking girls, there's a lot of athletic guys, there's a lot of all this kind of stuff. That comes and that goes. You better stare at and you better look for a person's heart, how they follow Jesus. If they don't have that, you listen to this half bald-headed guy, you'll stand in front of God and answer for that. But more than that, you will have to live with that. And those are decisions that you don't want to make. But in Ethan's case, he waited, right? And he found a lady that loved Christ like he loved. He made a comment to us at the house the other night. I won't get this just right, but he said this. About his 10th, 11th grade year, it hit him, and he had heard a sermon. And he said, you know what I started doing? Instead of looking for that lady, for that girl that I wanted, he said, God began to change my perspective. He said, God started molding me into being the kind of guy that he began to change to be the kind of guy that she would be looking for, that a lady, a Christian young lady. He said, and I knew that if I made myself the kind of guy that she would want, then when I find her, it'll matter. And guess what it did? They pull out of the driveway, and they're happy. They're happy. They're headed to church meeting, all smiles. She was literally talking to him about two young ladies that she was discipling, trying to lead to Christ. Y'all think about this just a minute. I mean, I've been to the scene. I was there with Brandon the next day, gathering up some of their items. They're driving along, and there's a tragedy 2 miles ahead of them, and they're talking about Jesus. She had no idea that in 60 seconds she was going to meet him. Think about that just a minute. Everything we do in Christ, and they were happy, but in that moment when that accident happened, there was no happiness there. But I can tell you what there was. There was joy. There was joy. Y'all saw that. You got a young man that loves Jesus with all of his heart. And although he's broken, listen to me, he's hurt. Do you hear me? He's lost the love of his life. His heart is broken. However, he has joy. Perfect peace. Listen to this. Isaiah 26:3. Perfect peace. God will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Perfect peace. Listen to this. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 28:7, listen. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices. Do you want a strength? Do you want strength and do you want a shield? Do you want to be helped today? If you come in here today and you're worried or you're stressed out or you've got a lot going on, do you want to have those? Do you want to be in perfect peace? Do you want to have joy? Do you want to have hope? Do you want to have strength, the shield? Do you want to be helped? Do you want to rejoice? The Bible says that how we do that is in Christ, okay? Receive fervent joy. We read in verse 10. Look right here. And then last on this, rest in his fullness. Verse 11 says this. These things I've spoken to you that my joy, and when we say that, my joy, who's my God's joy? His joy remains in us, okay? God's joy in us, that your joy may be full, okay? So we're to rest in God's fullness. Isaiah 41:10, I want to dump some scripture on y'all right here, okay? We've got about 7 minutes. I want y'all to listen in real close. It's super important. If we hadn't heard anything else, listen as we close. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. When y'all leave here today, I want you to have joy because I want you to be reminded of the benefits of being a Christian. Often in our Christian lives, it can be heavy. If you're like me, I wake up and I realize, and the devil, you know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. You know what the devil does? The devil just says, you know, you go to First Baptist and you say this about yourself and you say that. You hadn't read your Bible in 3 nights. Hey, you hadn't read your Bible in 2 weeks. Hey, and I hope this isn't the case, but if it is, listen, let's get better at it. Yeah, you just said a cuss word yesterday, you know. Yeah, you looked at something on your phone you shouldn't have looked at. Guess what, guys? We're here this morning to make that better. We're here to cry out to God to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, I want y'all to remember all of these things to say. And you got to remember, where the devil accuses you and says, you're nothing. You should be more like him. You should be more like her. You know what God tells us this morning? He said, I love you. He said, I'm here to give you joy and hope and peace and love. So do not fear, he said. Joshua 1:9 says this, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You hear me? Isaiah 40:31 says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. We've heard that before, but that hits a little bit different when you think about it in the context. Do you want joy today? Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. You're going to face trouble. I hope y'all have jotted some of this down. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So we've talked this morning about relying on the Father, receiving fervent joy, and resting in his fullness. Okay, right there in those little verses. Proverbs 17 in closing says this, 17:22, a joyful heart does good like medicine. Are you joyful this morning? Do you have joy? Not just happiness, because we learn what that comes and goes. Are you joyful this morning? Adrian Rogers says this, there's no such thing as a joyless Christian. No such thing as a joyless Christian. If you never have a smile, if you're never happy, you probably need to let's regroup. We probably need to consider, am I truly saved, right? There's no such thing as a joyless Christian. It'd be like having a heavenly devil, all right? You can't have a heavenly devil and you can't have a joyless Christian. It's hard. Why is it important? It's hard to win a soul if we're not happy. If I've got a long face 24/7 and I'm a knothead and I'm not fun to be around and I'm grouchy all the time, and listen to me, don't ask my girls because I can be that guy, all right? But if that's all I ever am, there's going to come a point they're going to look at me and say, something's not right. He ought to have joy. Now, we can all have a bad day. Hear me, youth. Listen, you can all have a bad day. We're all going to have a bad day, but we also will regroup, right? So, do you have that joy today? You can. David prayed in Psalms 51. He said, Lord, and this is on the cusp of just all that David, King David, had been through. He said, Lord, restore the joy of thy salvation. He was on top of the mountain, and then he fell. And this morning, as we close, I just simply want y'all to leave here. For starters, I want y'all to leave here encouraged. Encouraged. Listen, it encourages me to look around here and see this. Every one of y'all in here, first of all, y'all could have been anywhere else this morning. You could have been anywhere else, but y'all chose to come. And y'all chose to take your time to come in and sit amidst all the things you could be doing. Listen, there's a lot of men this morning sitting in a deer stand, and you know what they're doing? They're typing stupid stuff like this. Oh, I love being up this tree this morning. I'm closer to Jesus up here than I am sitting in that pew with them bunch of hypocrites. That's as stupid gets. You hear me? I'm blunt, but that's the truth. That's not how that works, right? The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. We ought to want to be around other Christians. If we're not going to want to be around Christians today, how do we think we're going to want to do it when we get to heaven, right? So at the end of the day, y'all chose to be here, and I'm thankful for that. It encourages me. And I want y'all to remember, as you go into your week, as you go into the rest of your life, happiness comes and happiness goes, but the joy of the Lord is forever. And it will be with us, it'll strengthen you, and it'll keep you, it'll sustain you, and it'll put a smile on our face. Trust God, lean on him, and he is faithful. If anybody has any questions, if you want to talk, if you want to pray, always find myself, anybody here, we'll do it. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for coming this morning. Thank you for giving me a few minutes. I appreciate it. And let's focus this Christmas season on having a joyful heart, okay? Let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning. And God, I thank you for these youth. As I look around at these ladies and these men, God, good-looking group, God, but I'm thankful that, Lord, they are here. They're here, Lord, to receive something. So, Lord, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit, something was said that will tug at their hearts, and that, God, they'll leave here and know that, God, my life and my goal is to serve you. And, God, help put a skip in their step. Help them smile. When they leave here today, help them realize, I am a Christian, And God, life is good. And Lord, I may not can change certain things, but I'm not going to worry as much anymore. I'm not going to fret over things that I can't change or things that maybe even won't happen or things that have already happened. God, I'm going to choose to trust in you, and I'm going to choose joy. And God, if there be anybody here that can't say that because they know that they've never been saved, God, Romans 10:9 says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I pray that they will call out to you. God, I pray that if need be, they find somebody to help lead them. God, we love you. We thank you for this all in Jesus' name. Amen.